Hey, welcome back to The Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church. If this is your first time listening, it's great to have you with us. Be sure to check out some of our past episodes and let us know what you think. We're kicking off our fall stewardship series, Giving from the Heart. If you're a regular listener and you would like to contribute to the ministries here at First United Methodist Church, please visit our website at www.fumcbentonville.org to make a pledge today. In this week's episode, we hear scripture being read by Deacon Belinda Letby from Edinburgh, Scotland. She is the minister of the City of Edinburgh Methodist Church, and she, along with her husband Andrew, are dear friends, and it was quite a joy to have them participate in worship with us this past week. Associate Pastor Reverend Eric Meyer takes a look at what it is to have a heart for people. Enjoy.
And our reading is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 21. So now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? Only to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his decrees that I am commanding you today for your own well-being. Although heaven and the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord your God, the earth with all that is in it, yet the Lord set his heart in love on your ancestors alone and chose you, their descendants after them, out of all the peoples as it is today. Circumcise then the foreskin of your heart and do not be stubborn any longer, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. Him alone you shall worship. To him you shall hold fast, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and awesome things that your own eyes have seen. This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Little boy was standing at the street corner, separated from his mom, arms folded in full pout, tears streaming down his cheeks. He thought his life was over. And as his mom looked at him, tears were streaming down her face as well. She could feel his pain. But she knew this was a big day for him and a big day for her. She was letting him go. If he was going to grow, he would have to take these steps on his own. Steps that maybe, since his first steps, were the most important of his life. Steps through the doors onto the waiting school bus. God's prophets are like this mom, feeling the emotions of the people, feeling the emotions also of God. For the prophets are the ones who are called to carry God's voice and emotions and intimate love to a waiting world. The prophets are the ones who feel God's emotions. They know that if we are created in God's image, then our emotions are also the emotions of God. And they also feel the frustration of knowing what God wants is best for us. Yet they can't make people believe. They can't make people believe that God is even real. They can't force anybody to live into what God offers. All they can do is show people a picture, paint a portrait, show them that the doors of the school bus are open. And Moses is first and foremost a prophet. He has a heart for people. He has a great heart for his children. And he has also been called by God to share God's heart and God's words with a waiting and hungry world. Today, Moses is looking out over his children and God's children. Because they are his children. Most of them have been born, and he's watched them grow over the last 40 years in the wilderness. And today they stand at the river. And God has said, Moses, your job is done. You will not be crossing the river into the promised land with your people, with your children. And Moses knows this is a very important day for both of them. Because he has to let them go. And he can't make them go. And he can't make them behave when they go. He feels the frustration of God. But what Moses can do, and what he's pretty good at, is he can give one last sermon. And a scripture from today is part of that last sermon. As Moses stands on the Jordan River, on the banks of the river that separate him and his people from the promised land, he offers his final words, his final hope. He says, "Hear, O Israel, you are about to cross the river. Today, you are walking across the river. For 40 years, the day that you have been dreaming about is here. And you are going to cross this river and drive out nations. Nations larger than you and mightier than you. Great cities fortified to the heavens. A people tall and strong, of whom you've heard it said, who can stand against them? Oh, but it is God that goes before you, a devouring fire that will subdue and defeat those nations. All you have to do is go in quickly and drive them out, destroy them, and take the land that God is giving you." Now, Moses was concerned about their egos. So he says, "Now do not think that when you go into this land and God gives you this land and drives those enemies out, that it is because you are righteous, because you are in right relationship with God. No, actually, it's because of the hatred and nastiness of the people that are already there. God is driving them out because of their behavior. Be careful the same doesn't happen to you, but you can make sure this never happens to you by following the words of God, by staying true to God, following the gift of the commandments, the ordinances and statutes that I am giving you today. And when you have become full, when you have eaten everything that you need, when your houses have become fine and wonderful places, when your herds and your flocks have multiplied, when your silver and your gold have multiplied, and when your families have multiplied, do not say it is by my own power and might that this has happened. Remember that it is only by the power and might of God that he has given you this gift, a gift that he promised to your ancestors." So Moses now has to trust. Moses has to have faith because there's nothing else he can do. He can't make the people go, but he can say, "Remember the 11 commandments." Now, at this point in the sermon, I realize you're probably asking two questions. One, Eric, what are you talking about, 11 commandments? There are only 10 commandments. And two, what is it with the ego of God? Why is God so insistent on making us follow God's rules? Is this just to make him feel happy that he can control us? Well, let's start with the 11th commandment. Moses is the one who is in intimate relationship with God. We are told that he speaks to God face to face as one speaks to a friend. And over and over and over again, Moses tells us that God requires us to love the outsider and the stranger, because God also loves the outsider and the stranger. In our scripture lesson today, we get the 11th commandment. It is also repeated as a commandment in Deuteronomy 15. But today, using the exact same language used in the 10 commandments, you shall love the stranger, for you were once strangers in the land of Israel, and God loves the stranger. Now, point two, God's ego. God doesn't have an ego. God is humility incarnate. The commandments aren't about God. They're about us. The commandments are how we cleanse our hearts. They are a treasure, a gift from God to us. In fact, as I first came to this church, I was getting comfortable learning the building, and I discovered we have a basement here. And as I was going through the basement, I found scroll upon scroll upon scroll. And one of those scrolls had a conversation between Moses and God. Moses was on the mountain with God. And God was speaking to him for 40 days. Now that means he had left his people for 40 days at the base of the mountain. But Moses was having these wonderful conversations with God about how to lead their people, and the vision that God had for these people. And God had asked Moses to bring two tablets. And he said, Moses, did you bring those two tablets? And Moses brought out the tablets. And God said, I'm going to give you a gift. And he used his finger and he wrote out the Ten Commandments. And when he finished, he said, Moses, you didn't make these tablets big enough. So you're going to have to tell the people the 11th commandment. But read these and tell me what you think. And Moses read them. And he looked at God and said, oh, God, what a gift. What a gift. So beautiful, so sublime. Love God. Avoid idols. Remember the Sabbath. And do no harm. And pour your heart out to the stranger. God, what a gift. I can't wait to give these to our people. And he put them in the acacia wood box and he carried them down to the mountain. And as he got close to the base of the mountain, he could hear the thump of the bass. The subwoofer carries a long ways. And he started to get worried. This sounded like a big party. And as he got closer, the music got louder. And he could see the people dancing. And they were dancing around and worshiping an idol. Now, you all may think that that idol was a golden calf, but I read the scrolls in the basement of the church. And the scrolls say the people were worshiping statues of themselves, mirror images of themselves. They were dancing around and worshiping themselves, and they were throwing their arms around the shoulders of their statues and taking selfies. And Moses threw the box on the ground, shattering the commandments, and he and God wept. The commandments are the gift so that we may cleanse our hearts. And cleansing our hearts is living the commandments, living a way of life, living this beautiful gift that God has given us. Love only God. Turn ourselves away from the idols that we worship, most especially our ego and ourselves. Keep the Sabbath holy. And yes, that even includes the parents. Don't overbook your kids. Let your kids have a Sabbath too. Do no harm. Honor your parents. And love the stranger. And in those scrolls, I also found a powerful message for this congregation. Moses, the visionary, wrote it out. He said, hear, O gathering congregation. You are standing at the river. You are right at the edge of the river. And you are going to go forward, cleansing your heart today. This very day is the day you've been waiting for. And as you go forward, you are going to drive out the nations of selfishness and ego. Now, these are big nations, mightier and stronger than you. Great cities, fortified to the heavens, of whom you've heard it said, who can stand against them? But God goes before you, and God will, like a devouring fire, destroy and defeat them. And then you just need to move in, following the commandments, and take the gift that God is offering. Today, we are at the beginning of our stewardship campaign, a campaign that allows us to fund this kingdom outpost, this kingdom of heaven that is sitting in Bentonville, a place where people who are far from home or feel far from God can find refuge, a place with open hearts and open minds and open doors. Every penny that is given in this stewardship campaign goes to building the foundation of this outpost of the kingdom of heaven. And we are all called to introduce people to Christ by modeling what it means to be good stewards, to live from the heart, to open our doors, and not just stand here, but to open our doors and go out and share Christ and make disciples. Amen.
Thanks once again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 each Sunday morning. We'd love to see you here. Grace and peace, y'all.